You people have been chosen to reveal our existence to the world. You will witness what happens here today, and you will tell of it later. All eyes to the front.
You are listening to the Geeks for the Win podcast.
Hello, this is Geeks for the Win podcast, where we talk about a variety of geek topics. I'm Mark, a.k.a. The Prophet 209, on Twitter, Xbox, and PSN.
And I'm Will, a.k.a. PoliticsO44, all throughout the internet.
And I'm known throughout the internet as Casual Chair. And we have a special guest with us today, Golfred.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, this is Jason, a.k.a. Golfred, a.k.a. co-host of the Talking About Gamers podcast.
All right, guys. So this is our segment that we go on talking on free talk. Talk about whatever you like. This week, well, actually, it's about a week and a half since we've all got together and recorded. This week, I had vacation, so I watched a lot of TV. I watched Mad Men from season 1 to season 3. I checked out the last 2 seasons of Weeds. Finished God of War 3. Got to chapter 9 on Final Fantasy. Played a little Battlefield Bad Company with Open Forum, Radio Crew, and Talking About Game Crew. Jeez. It's been that long since I recorded with you guys. I played some of the Splinter Cell demo. I saw the Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, how was that? I've been wanting to see that.
It was silly. I mean, if you go in there thinking it's going to be anything more than just a silly movie, then you're going to be disappointed. But it was funny. I had a good time. I was entertained.
So I'm pretty sure you saw the Hangover. So how would you compare it to the Hangover?
No comparison. Some Hangover is a lot better. But this was still pretty fun. Thing is, with Hot Tub, that's one of those movies that they showed most of the good stuff in the commercials. But it was still good to see it tie together the way they did it. So it was pretty good. And I saw a Caprica finale. That was kind of, it let me down. I thought that Caprica did pretty good up to this point, but I thought it could have ended the season with a bang. I checked out the last couple of Modern Family. You guys been watching Modern Family any?
No, it's on my queue. Basically, you know, it's on my radar to give it a shot.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Then as far as the comic book world is concerned, I've been reading in the Dark Avengers. I picked that up. It's pretty good. And X-Men Second Coming just came out. It's like, I guess, a new series where they're going to try to repopulate the mutant kind. That's very interesting to me, too. So, that's a rundown of what I've been up to. About yourself, Stuart.
All right, my turn. let's see. Spring break was this week, so I, too, was also watching a lot of TV. I watched all of True Blood, which we'll talk about later. I finally finished Marvel Civil War. That did not end how I expected it to end.
Oh, did you like it?
I did.
Oh, well, what did you not like about the ending?
Well, you know, I played Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 first, and I knew it wasn't going to go the exact same way, but I didn't really expect it to have an official winner the way it did. Like, there was a winner.
Right. Okay.
And
what about the stuff with Captain America in it? Did you get to that part, or is that... I don't remember if in the comic they got to that or not.
Yeah, but that was actually more the last issue of Captain America.
Okay.
Like that, I didn't read that one, although I have it. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it. Really what I did is I just read the Civil War, Spider-Man Civil War, and Fantastic Four Civil War. And the Spider-Man Civil War, I liked. You know, I'm going to have to keep reading Spider-Man because something happened really important at the end of Spider-Man. Aunt May got shot, so kind of want to see what happens there.
Hmm, okay.
And they hinted that the Spider-Man's getting the black suit again, so definitely want to read on.
I can't follow that comic book. There's so many different storylines with it. But anyway, continue.
Yeah, it's quite just stuck with a couple. We'll continue on Spider-Man. I played Spider-Man Web of Shadows. I liked it. It was good. The controls were the best Spider-Man I've ever played.
Yeah, I saw you on Ustream swinging around the buildings. That made me want to go pick up the game again.
Yeah, I Ustreamed the ending I did last night. I was just kind of bored, so I just put that up. Let's see. I started watching Buffy.
From the first
yes,
season?
Yes, first season. I'm on the second season.
You went through the first season already?
Yes, I'm in the middle of season two.
Wow. Season one was kind of rough.
Yeah, but it was short, though.
Okay. Well,
and compared to the others, it was rough, but it wasn't that bad.
That wasn't bad, but I mean, yeah, it's kind of extra cheesy to me. Anyway.
Season two's picking up. I'm at the episode where Xander casts a love spell on everybody. That's kind of cool. I haven't finished it yet, though. And that's really my boring week. Now that I think about it, I didn't do much.
Oh, well, Will and Golf had a better week and a half than us, so.
Yeah, they did.
How's your week, Will?
Mine was pretty good. I mean, not my week, but last weekend, since I went to PAX East, I had a lot of fun. I got to see, a lot of stuff. I really enjoyed. I mean, I guess y'all can ask us questions once we get done with the free talk, but still saw some pretty good games. It really wasn't, much. Everyone was complaining because there wasn't a lot of announcements and stuff, but it's more of a community, get-together type convention than, it's not an E3. It's basically, community gets together, hangs out, you get to put faces to the voices and all that.
Yeah, that's the part that I feel like I missed out on with this, that everybody got to pretty much meet each other. It seemed like mostly everybody had a blast doing it, so.
Yeah, I got a quick story to tell. Friday night, Friday / Saturday, it was around midnight. Vic, Joe, and myself were heading to pick up Patriot 1030, and what was supposed to be, Vic Joe's Tom said, 11 minutes to the airport, turned out to be like an hour. Because, I mean, Vic Joe, he kept on missing turns, at the last minute. And one point we were even outside of Boston. We had left Boston. We had turned around and we saw the sign said, Boston with the arrow pointing straight.
Wow.
I mean, he was cursing that. He wasn't really cursing a lot, but he was cursing a little. He was getting angry at the Tom.
Getting angry at the GPS?
Yeah. That was probably one of the best moments of PAX.
That's it. Well, then get to meet Joe mano a mano. How is he?
Oh, he's what you would, imagine. He's a big dude, but he's as he's friendly. He is so friendly and so down to earth. I mean, I also, you know, I roomed with Vic Joe, Patriot, and Zabari. And, I mean, Vlaz was there, but he had a different room with his wife, Amy, which I got to say, you know, having a wife who will, you know, come to PAX with you, hold all the free stuff you get, I mean, that's just, that's definitely a keeper.
Yeah, that's
he's a lucky man.
Yeah, that's a rare wife. But there's a lot of them out there, believe it or not.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, but basically, you know, I listened to a lot of podcasts on the way up there and back, and I started to read a little bit of the Marvel Zombie series, which I'm liking. It seems interesting. It's a, you know, it's only five, but there's, you know, different side stories, just like the Civil War has, but it's pretty interesting. And basically, when I got back, I had the PAX bug, you know. I was sick basically all week, so I had plenty of time to watch TV. I watched all of True Blood, just as, you know, just like, you know, Stuart did. And I started watching some Buffy as well. And that's about it. I got Caprica recorded. I still got to watch that. But now I'm kind of, you know, disappointed to hear that the finale wasn't that great. Because I've been liking that show.
In my opinion, but, you know, I didn't like it, but I thought it was going to end a lot better than that. That's all.
Yeah.
You played on Battlefield with us. What'd you think about that?
Oh, I like it. I mean, I got it from Gamefly, and I think I'm going to, you know, pick up the actual copy of it because I'm really enjoying it, except for, you know, getting sniped from Tin Pan, like, all the way across the map.
I think that's my complaint on that, in comparison to other shooters like MAG or Modern Warfare 2, it seems like there's just so much more sniping going on in there. And mind you, it makes it, I don't know if it balances it a little bit better, and the sniping is pretty fun and easy to do, but that's all everybody. I mean, if you can't have a squad, everybody sniping. It kind of takes away the fun of it for me. But it's still vehicles and all the other stuff adds to it, but it's a lot of sniping going on, so If you're not a patient person and your squad's not communicating, that game can get frustrating.
Yeah.
But that's my thoughts on that.
To be honest, the first game we played, I didn't know what mode we were playing. We just got frustrated at Tin Pan, so we decided just try to kill Tin Pan.
Yeah, I remember that. When I played with them the other night, it was did a lot better, but I don't know if I would replace that with Modern Warfare 2. One thing I liked better on Battlefield was the actual vehicles and the scope of the maps, because it was like, to get to one point to the other, it was like a good distance. So it made you feel like you were more of in a conflict anyway, in my opinion. But talking about Modern Warfare 2, it's time to speak to our guests.
Yeah, Modern Warfare 2. My week has been insanely busy, and I'll start with last Friday, of course, was PAX. And my girlfriend and I, we left Pennsylvania at 5 in the morning, and we drove, I believe, 6.5 hours. And we left that night around 10 o'clock and was back in Pennsylvania at 5 a.m. So we were up for 24 hours straight.
Whoa.
It was
wow.
Pretty rough. And the reason why is we already had tickets for a concert in Maryland. So then we had to drive on Saturday to Maryland and then drive back. And we are big MMA fans. So then when we got home, we obviously slept and got up and watched UFC. I think it was UFC 110 or 111. My girlfriend's a big George St. Pierre fan, so he defended his title. But it's just been a crazy week for both of us. Pretty much we're house hunting, and that's been insanely busy. We actually just placed a bid on a house 2 days ago, so I'm crossing my fingers on this one. But as far as video games go, I've been playing a lot of Street Fighter 4, a lot of God of War 3, and, of course, the new maps with Modern Warfare 2. I'm really enjoying the new maps. And with film, Friday we saw Clash of the Titans, the remake, which I was really pumped to go see because I remember as a little dude going to see Clash of the Titans and just had all the toys, had the Kraken, and just loved the film. And even back then, I thought the movie was a little cheesy with the stop animation. I believe, I think the movie came out in 81. And I will say the new film, the special effects are amazing. I did not see it in 3D, but overall, my heart is still with the first one. And it was kind of funny because my girlfriend never saw the first Clash of Titans, so we actually watched that last night. And she prefers the new one. But I like the old one because when I was a little dude, I just remember having all the toys and playing with them. And as far as comics go, I don't really read too many comic books, but I have an iPhone, and I just picked up a pretty awesome app. It's a Marvel Comics app, and it's free. It's a free app, and you can buy comic books for, I think it's $2, and you can read them on your iPhone, but I think the app is made for the iPad, so I really didn't get a chance to use it. So other than that, just been just crazy busy with house hunting.
Man, I remember watching the first couple minutes of Clash of Titans this week, and you know, the very first couple minutes, they showed like the birth of Perseus, and they showed the women naked and stuff. And I was like 9 when this first came out. I wonder how I can't remember how I felt when I saw that as a kid. It's like that wouldn't have been. It was rated. Was it rated R back then?
I think if they're showing nudity, I believe it would have to be rated R, or maybe PG. They didn't have. I don't think they had the
PG-13 rating at that time. But I'm saying now that what they showed there would have just been PG-13.
Well, I know there was no nudity in the remake, and it was kind of. I will say this about the remake, that it's very strange, and I will say it's probably more strange than the first one, because when they're telling the whole story with the gods, it just seems kind of corny and hokey. I don't know if it's because of all the, I don't know, it just doesn't fit right with the whole god thing. And they really use that in this new one. As the first one, of course, the gods were in it, but I think in this new remake, the gods play a bigger role in the film. And it just maybe made the film a little too strange. But I will say both films start off very, very slow. But once they get going, I think the films really, really pick up. And especially with the new one, I prefer the fight scenes with the new one. But overall, my heart's with the first one.
Hey, so anybody also knows, you know, you're a big God of War fan. How do you compare the mythology and the telling of the Clash of the Gods, I guess, with God of War and Clash of the Titans? Because it almost seemed like God of War kind of borrowed. It seemed like it was like they got the mythology from Clash of the Titans.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge influence. And you can see it completely in the game. And I'm glad because when I was a little kid, I dreamed of a video game like God of War, and here we are, we have it, because of films like Clash of the Titans. So, yes, there's the whole thing with Zeus and Hades and Mount Olympus and the Titans, it's all there in Clash of the Titans, and it's all there in God of War. So, if you like Clash of the Titans, you're going to love God of War, and vice versa.
It's also all there in the Percy Jackson movie, too.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't see that movie.
Well, I've read the books, so I was already kind of going to go see it anyway. And read the books, don't see the movie.
Really?
Yeah. The books
now,
are way better.
Have you guys seen the new Clash of Titans?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
I have not.
But I will see.
Would you see Medusa?
Really?
She's the highlight of the film, just like I think she was in the first Clash of the Titans.
She almost was the highlight of, well, not really the highlight, but the way she looked in God of War, jeez. The Medusa, the snake things, you can see every scale in God of War.
Yeah, I said this before on many podcasts, that I think the animation in God of War 3 is the best out there. And it's amazing when they do the close-ups, and the scales on those Grogan Medusas looks like a real wet snake in HD. It's insane. I think God of War 3 is a marvel. The game's not perfect. It's a little short for me. I think you can beat it in 8 or 9 hours. I just wish they would have made the game more. Since they're saying this is the last of the series, I think they should have made it at least 15 hours, but they didn't.
Well, they said it is the last of the Kratos. Kratos, that's his name. I was going to say Kronos, but that's not it.
Did you finish it before you went to PAX, Will?
No. I'm like an hour away from finishing.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I won't say nothing. The ending was kind of different. Not what I kind of expected. It was spinning, though. Hope you like it. All right, so I guess we could go on to some in-depth questions on PAX here. Well, you want to, for J-Bird360, he's been asking for ever since you guys first landed in PAX. Tell us, did you see Red Dead Redemption, right?
Yeah, I did.
Now, that game doesn't have a lot of appeal for me because I'm not really big. I can't see the mixture of the Western and the open world. But explain what you saw. Did you see it, Golf?
Yeah, I played it. I actually had to wait, I believe, an hour in line to play the game, and then they had a big giant booth. They had the biggest booth at PAX, and then I had to wait probably another 35 minutes to play the game because every console was filled with five people deep waiting to play the game. So I really enjoyed it. I'm a big fan of the Grand Theft Auto series, and I love Westerns. So I'm glad this game is out, and I think it breathes life back into the series, even though it's not Grand Theft Auto, but for Rockstar. Because I think a lot of people were disappointed with Grand Theft Auto 4, and I am just a tad bit worried with the whole Western setting, because I'm just – when you're in Grand Theft Auto and you have a big, giant city that's alive, there's a lot of things to do, a lot of people to mess with. I'm just worried that being in an isolate desert and small towns, I don't know how much the game's going to be able to keep you busy. So I'm holding my breath on that.
Did you play Gun by any chance?
I think I played a demo, or I might have played a demo. I never played the whole full game.
Okay, because Gun was a Western open world, and it was a good start. It was a decent start, I guess. It wasn't great. I liked it.
What didn't you like about it?
There was nobody to mess with. Like you said, small town. There were actually like only like three towns, and just a lot of open space between them. Riding the horse.
Yeah, that's why I liked Grand Theft Auto 4 so much, because I'd be walking around and somebody would walk by me talking on a cell phone, and I could literally follow them down the block. It just listened to their conversation. And if I wanted to run across the street and mug somebody or steal a car, it just seemed that Grand Theft Auto 4, I love the game personally, I love the series, is you get a lot of replay because you can do what you want in that world. And I am truly afraid that you're not going to have that in this Red Dead Redemption just because of being in the Western setting with the desert and the small little towns. And I think that's a big thing, a big plus with Grand Theft Auto 4. I just hope they found a way to get around that issue.
I don't think they've claimed it to be Grand Theft Auto in the Old West. I just think, it's a Old West game with an open world made by Rockstar.
Yeah, just because Rockstar is involved with it, everybody's going to automatically assume that the open world game is going to be Western Grand Theft Auto.
And it's not the same developers for
studio.
Who made Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, it's not the same studio. It's the studio who made the Midnight Club games, and I can't remember the others, but yeah.
So what are your impressions on it, Will?
Well, real quick, there's a picture I'm looking at right now on my iPhone, and I'm standing in front of probably a 50-foot sign of Red Dead Redemption, and it clearly says from the makers of Grand Theft Auto. So they're trying to...
They're linking
the
it, right.
Name.
They're going to piggyback.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they've said it's their biggest open world game ever so far. So.
Yes.
Well, that doesn't mean that could mean a lot of empty space.
Well, hopefully you could travel on other things other than horses, right?
Maybe you can jump off a snake. Jump off your horse and kill a snake or something. I don't know.
The horse seemed pretty cool. I mean, when they were letting us play it, the guy was talking to us about, the horse is supposed to be, somewhat smart and won't let you jump off a cliff or stuff like that. So that seemed pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of cool because you could be anywhere on the map and just hit the Y button and the horse would come to you. So, yeah, so there's no way you can just rob any horse because you're in a desert, you're in a western setting, so you just hit the Y button and a few seconds later there's a horse right next to you.
Was it the guy whistling? I thought it was the up D-pad.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it was that. I was thinking it was the Y button for some reason.
Does the guy whistle?
Yeah.
I think he does. Yeah, I think he does.
Gandalf would whistle.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, I thought it was pretty fun. I mean, the guy, basically the demo was, he set up, you know, he was basically explaining it at first, and then he set up a mission for us to do, and he was like, don't rush to go to the, you know, don't rush to go to the waypoint, look around, you know, mess around, you know, do whatever you want, you know, notice the world, basically. I mean, you would see, you know, calves and stuff that you could lasso for whatever reasons, and you would see bandits that would, you know, attack you, and it seemed pretty interesting. I mean,
that's weird because the lady, the rep that was teaching us how to play, my girlfriend played it first, and everyone else that was playing it basically did the mission. And when I got it, I did not play it that way. I just was a total renegade and just wreaked havoc on the town and just killed everybody I could and shot everything that I could shoot. And then all of a sudden, there was a bunch of rangers chasing me, just like the cops would be chasing you in Grand Theft Auto 4, which I thought was pretty cool. So I was a badass in the game.
Yeah. I like the slow motion, you know, that where you can go in and just, you know, basically, you know, hover over the enemies and then it'll shoot them. I thought that was a pretty nice, you know, feature of the game.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah, you can, I guess, you can, somehow the game pauses and you can get a headshot with, there's three different characters on the screen, I believe, that's what it's for, I think. But I thought that was a very cool concept, how you can zoom in and shoot ahead.
Yeah, come to think of it, it's kind of like the VAT system on Fallout.
Yeah, yep.
Well, it's kind of like a quick draw system, right? Like, so that from the early video I saw, that's kind of what it was. It was like, you know, if the guy just pulls his gun out real fast and just fires the six shots as fast as he can at the targets that you paint.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think it feels like the VAT system. I think that's a good comparison.
Okay.
Yeah, the thing I'm worried about with this game, for me personally, is the amount of investment you have to put into this type of game. It seems like it's going to be definitely Grand Theft Auto is going to be a good 40 to 60 hour type of game. am I wrong in thinking that?
It probably will be.
So do you think that's a negative of a game being that long? Or?
No, well, for me, maybe at the time that's coming out might be good because it seems like the games are going to kind of slow down at that time. But like if it came out in January, February, I would have never got a chance to play it.
Yeah.
And I'm a person, I want to, especially a game I'm not too sure about, I want to game fly it. And that game is like either in or out, in my opinion. that would be a purchase if you're going to have to spend that much time into it.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet that there's going to be early reviews for the game, and I think that the critics are going to give it a great rating because I played that little demo and I was blown away by it, how awesome it was. And I'm a fanboy for the series, so maybe that helped too. But it looked really damn good, and the animation on it is some of the best out there. I think it looks better than Grand Theft Auto 4.
It's got some good horse butt, right, Golf Rat?
Absolutely, man. That's the first thing I noticed was, there's very few games where you're riding horseback. I know Assassin's Creed 2, and there's a few others I can't think of, but it's just amazing how the detail that they put, even in the horse, the muscles, the wrinkles, and the tail, it looks like a real freaking horse.
And this is the year of the horse, for real, I tell you. Darksiders had a horse. The horse in God of War looked amazing. It's Red Dead Redemption horse is looking good too, huh?
And last year was, or the year before that was Year of the Zombie, so yeah, you might be onto something.
Horse tails. Okay, so that's Red. I'm just tongue-tied every time I say it.
One more thing real quick. Mm-hmm. I talked to, you know, the guy who was demoing it, and I was asking him, you know, I was like, so did the, you know, the writers of the game, did they, you know, watch a lot of Western movies, you know, when they were, and he was like, yeah. they basically studied, you know, all the classic Western movies to give it a real good Western feel. So that gives me hope.
So was that the best game that you saw at PAX East?
For me, it was.
Yes, the best game, yes. Not the best thing, though.
For me, it was, and because I think a lot of AAA games were not at PAX. And I know they had Super Street Fighter 4 up on the third floor, a small little free play booth, but I believe that game they should have really pimped out because it's coming out at the end of April. That game was not there. They just had a little bit of, geez, my brain's, can't think of it now. Crackdown 2. Hey, they just had a multiplayer mode. No single player, no co-op. So I think I was kind of disappointed with the games at PAX, but PAX is more community, so that made up for the lack of games.
Well, it was a tournament, wasn't it? The Street Fighter? It was a tournament,
I think it was
right?
Street Fighter 4 tournament, but they did have Super Street Fighter 4. But it didn't have a big booth like they should have had, I think. So I don't know why. I have no idea.
Of course you do.
But yeah. I was happy with meeting everybody from the community. I thought that made the trip worth staying up for 24 hours.
Did you guys see anybody famous, really?
I saw Adam Sessler, I guess. I mean, he stood right in front of me when some fans were shouting. He had to have, you know, the security guard walk in the bathroom with him. That's what Matt told me. I was like, really? Did he need help aim? Did he need help aiming?
Well, I guess you know you hit it big when you need a bodyguard to go into the bathroom with. But probably the biggest celebrity I met was Robert Bowling from Infinity Ward.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
That was interesting because Phoenix kind of embarrassed me in front of everybody. We were at a panel. It was one of those public relations panel. And I was hungry. I was tired. And I think I had a pretty big headache at the time. And the panel was about an hour and a half. So I was just mentally drained. And then, of course, Phoenix made a scene. Hey, Rob, over here is Golf Rat, your biggest fan. And he kind of embarrassed me, but it was all good because I got a chance to meet him, and we talked for about 20 minutes. He's a real cool guy, down to earth. I don't know if I would want his job because he gets a lot of people coming up to him and complaining about, of course, all the stuff that went down with Modern Warfare 2, but he's a real cool dude. And, it was good meeting him, and I got my picture taken with him. So.
Yeah, these community managers I've met – Only one. I met the guys from Madden once, and it seemed like they're the coolest guys in the world. And I mean, genuinely, really down to earth. They're gamers as well, so they're really easy to get along with, and they don't have the big head, so to speak.
Yeah, I think if you're gonna be a community manager for any game, or if anybody wants to do that, I think you have to have a lot of good, great people skills, because you're gonna be dealing with the community, so. If you love people, and you can handle talking to people, and you know if a certain question comes up, you gotta know how to handle it. So I think that he's the perfect fit for the job. He was a really cool guy.
Mhm. So what was your guys' second highlight other than Red Dead Redemption?
Second highlight. I really liked a game called Shank, which was a 2D. 2D side-scroller. Basically, you have two shotguns, chainsaws, dual knives, dual pistols. It reminds me of Strider, Final Fight, and Castle Crashers in that whole comic book, adult-themed comic book-looking graphics. So you're shooting people and fake blood is flying, and it just looked like a lot of fun. I didn't get a chance to play it because the lines were too damn long, but that was, believe it or not, my second game, and because of Crackdown, just had a little bitty demo. I just watched it.
What about you, Will? What was your next?
Well, my favorite thing of the show was it wasn't even a game. It was like an accessory called Immerse, and basically it was like y'all seen and heard about those vests, you know, that you can put on, and you know they like. Make you feel like you got hit in the chest.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
I really? I have heard of that.
Well, it goes around, you know, it goes around your neck and lays flat on your chest, and it basically rumbles, you know, like they had us we demoed Left 4 Dead 2 with it, and like every sound you know had a distinctive, you know, little rumble to it. It seemed like, I mean, when you fired the shotgun, it rumbled, you know, where you actually felt like, you know, the backfire from a shotgun. And it, you know, it had you, you know, when you got like jumped by a hunter or a jockey, you felt it. I mean, it really, by the end of it, you know, it got Matt and myself really into it. So I'm looking forward to that.
Wow, I totally missed that. And that could be kind of cool and then kind of not cool, because I'm imagining playing a like a Dead Space wearing that and being scared the crap out of, wearing that vest and having the lights off and your 5.1 surround. I think that'd be really cool. But then I'm thinking, okay, in a few years, you know, there could be a chance where you could be wearing a vest, using a Wii remote, and wearing 3D sunglasses playing a game. So I don't know how much more gimmicky you can get. So that's kind of like a double-edged sword, you know?
And what was cool about it is they said you could use it for movies, too. So, I mean, it just wasn't for gaming, you know? It was...
How would it work for movies?
I guess they'll give you the rumble. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know how it would work.
Maybe if it's hooked up to your... I don't know how that would work. Hook it up to the subwoofer or something?
Kind of like a rumble pack, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been hearing about this vest for years.
Well, this is different. They made a clear distinction between this and the vest. They didn't want you to feel like, you know, you were getting hurt or anything. Or, you know, they wanted it basically to feel like, you know, you were in the game, basically. You know, you... Like with the backfire of a shotgun, or, you know, the feel of, like, basically, the whole time I was looking for a melee weapon, you know, to try out, you know, and everything seemed so different. It was pretty impressive.
You know, they should make some underwear for porno films like that.
I've been thinking about that for years. I mean, no, I haven't.
All right, what else you guys want to talk about from PAX?
Okay, Golfrat did mention it. Crackdown 2, let's hear it.
I wasn't that crazy about it. It just looked like Crackdown multiplayer, and I don't know. For me, Crackdown was the single player and the co-op experience, so I don't know how the multiplayer is going to work. It looked cool. It looked very casual. But I'm just looking forward to the single player game, so I don't really have too much to say about it. I wasn't that impressed.
So it wasn't, you know, the single player with the 4-person co-op. It was the multiplayer part of it.
Yeah, it was just a multiplayer demo that I'm pretty sure will probably be out on Xbox Live. But I wasn't that impressed with it. I was, like I said, I was extremely impressed with Red Dead Redemption. That was my game of the show.
Yeah. Well, besides, you know, besides Red Dead and the Immerse, they didn't really show it, but they talked about it and they displayed it a lot. It's called The Gig, Rise of the Sixth String, where basically it's, you know, a Guitar Hero-like game, but you use a real guitar. Real strings, you really have to strum with it. And it's a you buy it and it's a standalone guitar. You can use it with the game and without. And that looks pretty interesting, because I've been playing, you know, the Guitar Hero and Rock Bands for years. So, I mean, I've always wanted to, you know, pick up a bass or a guitar and learn how to play it. And I've really been thinking about, you know, recently, but I'm just going to wait to get this.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of artists talk about they don't want to release tracks on Rock Band or Guitar Hero because they want people to really learn how to play instruments. And this might be the gateway for that to happen.
So you have to buy a real guitar?
Well, it comes with the you can use the plastic guitars, I think they said, but I mean they sell the guitars that, you know, hook up to the 360 or the PS3 or
See, I think it'd be cool if you already owned a guitar that you could somehow hook it up to the guitar you have. But buying a whole new guitar, I don't know how that's going to go over.
No, it's not something I would do. But, I mean, there are a lot of people out there that, you know, that are, like, playing bands and stuff that I'm sure that they'll hook up their bass to the Xbox and get down.
Yeah, I mean, they had adapters. Other booths had, you know, adapters where they would put on the guitar. Basically, you could hook up to the Rock Band and stuff, I heard from Vic Gill and a bunch.
No, and then imagine, like the Rock Band Network. And, you know, you had these guys that had their own original songs. They could just play their song onto the Xbox and upload it. That could get real interesting.
Yeah, that could. But, yeah.
Well, that's kind of what Guitar Hero 5 was supposed to do. Or what was it, Guitar Hero 5?
World Tour.
I don't know. Yeah,
World Tour, yeah. With the
whichever one that
creator.
Was.
Maybe that was a little too complicated for me. I can even try to. Did any of you guys play Monday Night Fight? I keep hearing Zabari talk about it.
Monday Night Combat.
Combat, yeah, okay.
I did not get a chance to play it. I heard Zabari talk about it the entire time, though. It just had a big line whenever I looked.
All right, what is it about? At least you guys know if Zabari talked about it. At least tell me now. What to look for about it?
Well, I walked by it, and it just, it's very cartoonish. Very, I think it has maybe a little bit of cel shading to it. It's just, it looks to me like a very casual multiplayer. And it looked cool. It looked like a bunch of robotic-looking dudes wearing helmets, a futuristic, almost like a Running Man-type game in a cartoon element. But that's something like that doesn't really appeal to me. I like that's one reason why I'm not a big Halo fan is I like realistic shooters, even though Modern Warfare 2 is obviously not realistic. But it looked fun. I just something maybe it's just not my cup of tea.
Wow. Sorry, I just got distracted. Golfer, are you an Eagle fan?
No, I hate the Eagles. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Okay. Because Donovan McNabb just been traded to the Washington Redskins.
Really?
Wow. That has to be an April Fool's joke.
Adam Scheffler.
My dad's cursing right now.
Why would the Eagles trade McNabb to a team in their same division?
That's ridiculous. I know we don't talk about football and sports on here, but I just had my little Twitter open and I saw it and said, that's real big. And it was real crazy on the Eagles must have gave up a lot. I mean, you know, I'm not the Eagles, I'm the Redskins. Because, I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's a shocker. I think if I was the Eagles, I definitely would not send them to a team in the NFC and then send them to a team in the same division.
And then a team that has a running game. So, I mean, if they get one or two decent, one decent receiver, they're gonna automatically leapfrog the Eagles. Still got some more PAX impressions coming up.
I will say this, the people smelled really bad at PAX.
Oh, it's true. I've never been to an actual convention. Well, actual convention, so I keep hearing that. But
yeah, some of the people, I don't think they washed their hair for a week. There was a lot of chewing gum and mints that also should have been handed out, because I think I talked to some people and almost got knocked over by their breath.
Yeah, the little bags they gave everyone should have had, you know, a little thing of breath mints and a little thing of Axe.
and maybe some hand sanitizer, too. So we came prepared with plenty of gum and hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Hey, we got another guest that just joined us. Welcoming Tin Pan Alley.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
And he's just what in up? Time to get ready to talk about True Blood with us.
Actually, I wanted to ask Tin Pan, why were you – we were just actually talking about PAX. Why were you not – I thought you were going to PAX.
Will is Tin Pan, in fact.
Oh, okay. Two people.
Yeah, what? There was, yeah. I got robbed and of several hundred dollars and wasn't able to purchase a plane ticket, but so I'm looking to go to PAX Prime now, but I'm going to see how that goes.
Wait a minute, you got robbed again?
No. The time that I got robbed was the only time it happened, which prevented me from going.
Oh, where you lost your wallet? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, I thought you were still going to go, though. I thought someone bought you tickets or something. Or...
We did have a generous donation from a buddy of mine, but I turned it down because I didn't want to have that hanging over my conscience. So, yeah, I turned it down, and I'm going to try and work up the cash to go to PAX in the West this time.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That can be maybe too much to take, so.
Yeah.
That's a shame, because I think you missed out on a real great event, and hopefully they'll have it on the East Coast again.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, any more PAX impressions you guys want to share with us?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I went to a couple panels, you know, the red versus blue panel. That was amazing. I mean, they did a live action skit where they like basically attached a camera to, you know, the back of a car with a big rod, and they blackened out all the windows. They had a monitor, you know, at the steering wheel, and basically it was, you know, drive a real car like you would a video game. It was just hilarious. I mean, they had two guys, you know, the guys, if any of y'all follow Red versus Blue, the guy who voices Simmons and the guy who voices Griff, they had them compete, basically. I mean, they had traffic cones and everything where they had to, you know, avoid, but they would start where they had to run in the car, and they had the generic, you know, GTA-type thugs that were basically, you know, beating them up and stuff, and hit with, you know, fake baseball bats, and it was pretty hilarious. And then they showed, you know, four episodes of their new series, their Red versus Blue Season 8. And then I went to a geek panel, and... oh my God, if they didn't, you know, if they weren't the stereotypical D&D, you know, geeks. I mean, it was supposed to be about geek culture, you know, and how it's become mainstream, but all they talked about really was like D&D, and I mean...
I heard magic was all over the place.
Oh, magic was. It was everywhere.
Zabari was happy then.
Oh yeah, he was like, I told y'all it's coming back.
You know, speaking of geeks, Mark, you put that Twitter question out there. Did you? What'd you think of my answer to what's the difference between a nerd and a geek?
That's kind of where I was going with it. I think that one of the definitions I've read is that nerds are just socially inept, where geeks can actually are more technologically savvy, and also are able to get along in society. So I like your answer. Pretty much geeks are more of the Twitter, Facebook users, where nerds are just in a hole.
Yeah, nerds are the guys with plaid pants and broken glasses with tape in between them.
And the pocket protectors, right, where geeks can pass.
Geeks are going to Star Trek and Star Wars thingies. So.
And Doctor Who conventions. And
yeah.
PAX.
And PAX.
And so, talking about Doctor Who, you guys saw Doctor Who?
Yeah. Movie? Yeah, we saw Doctor Who last night, me and Will.
So what do you guys think of it?
Matt Smith has some growing to do in that role. I mean, he's all right.
Head to school.
Oh, heck yeah. That was amazing. I'm looking forward to the season, but as that episode, it was all right as a, you know, beginner, you know, introducing the series, but there was just some parts in it where it was just too goofy.
Yeah, from the very first time you saw this guy, it just seemed like a goofball to me. But I saw Cookie had tweeted that he's already being compared to Martha Jones already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cookie's going to be okay, but he's going to be the worst of the best.
Yeah. Cookie, Jay also said this, but that was a tweet of the year. Matt Smith is Martha Jones. Not bad, but not great.
Right. Well, hopefully he'll get better. He'll grow into it. It's just a shame because Tennant, his first episode, he just took over. But... you know, that's a hard act to follow, so I kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't just him. It was also what Stephen Moffat did was, you know, he changed everything. You know, everything's, you know, you don't have to know a single thing about the Doctor Who of the past to watch this episode and understand everything, which is good in a sense. But, yeah, brand new TARDIS, brand new sonic screwdriver, which is green, by the way.
I heard the TARDIS was terrible. That's the only thing I see everybody agree with.
Oh, he's got an old-fashioned typewriter. He was, you know, hitting the keys to... I hated that part. Oh,
the console itself, I really didn't have a problem with. It was everything else. Like the lights on the walls that, you know, it reminded me of if you take the old TARDIS and mix it with a cruise ship interior and just mash them together.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Jay or Skittles DFW said it was like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory exploded in there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which describes it pretty well.
Whoa. Okay, well, I guess I'll see it soon once I can figure out how to get it. But anyway, I guess we're going to move on to our main topic now. Everybody here in the beginning was saying they watched True Blood from season 1 to 2. And Tin Pan has even read some of the books, which I think is kind of interesting.
Oh yeah, I've read all of the books.
Wow. Well, I guess before we even get into how much different is the books from the the TV show?
Now, Tin Pan, real quick, is this the Southern Vampire Mystery books? Is that what you're reading,
yeah.
Or?
Yes, it's by Charlaine Harris. It's actually called, they're over across the room, but, yeah, it's this, I think that's what it's called, the Southern Vampire Mystery Books, but it's like the Sookie Stackhouse, something of that nature. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, my mom reads those a lot, all those, so.
Don't hate.
Well, I'm not hating. I watch the show, so I'm planning on reading the books. I don't have to buy them now because my mom already has them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much I can say without spoiling too much.
I just want to know if does it stay true to the TV show? Does it stay true to the book? And how much does it bear off a lot? And which is better?
It stays pretty. Pretty close to the storyline in the books, but it veers off on some main points. Like I don't know if you've seen the second season, but
I think we've all seen
it. They reveal something about Sookie that you don't really find out until like one of the last books, which there's eight books now, and you don't find that out till book 7 or 8, and you know. Lafayette's character in the books, he is killed by Marilyn, the I can't remember the name of that creature, and they decided to keep him in the show, which I like because he's my favorite character.
Oh,
but,
by far.
Yeah, it's like I said, it stays fairly true to the story. I mean, it changes, it takes a few liberties here and there, but for the most part, it's pretty close.
How would you compare the books to the Twilight books?
you know, I'm gonna just hurt myself here, but I would have to say it's Twilight Cinemax edition. If that makes
that
sense.
Was a joke,
sense.
By the way. Yeah, I still got that joke, but that was one of the lame jokes.
Okay. But yeah, it's not as gritty and as dark as say Anne Rice, but it's not as, you know, as lighthearted, you know, vampires that glow and, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of in between.
Okay, the reason why I asked is because my daughter, she's a big fan of Twilight and she read all the books, and obviously the HBO series would be too much for her. But it sounds like the books would probably be too much for her as well, for being a 12-year-old.
Yeah, there is several instances in the book that would be a little much for a 12-year-old.
All right. It's good to know.
Yeah, my daughter read all the Twilight books. I told her she couldn't read those True Blood books, though.
Yeah.
And she's 12 also.
Huh. Hmm, that's very interesting.
There's some scenes in there that made a 23-year-old go blush a little bit, so.
Oh, my God. I might have to read them.
Yeah.
wait, what page? I'm sure you marked the page. Right?
I was at the
page with a piece of paper. And,
I was at the video store not too long ago, and this was back, you know, New Moon just came out. I was with my sister, who, by the way, is 12. And she goes, "Ooh, True Blood, vampire." I'm like, from what I've heard, uh-uh. And once I watched it, I was right.
Okay. So let's do a round of room. What's everybody's favorite characters here? We're going to start off season one. We'll start with William.
Oh, my favorite character would probably be... I like Jason. Jason would probably be my favorite.
Okay, why is he your favorite?
I mean, just a funny character, basically. I mean, he just seems to, you know, luck out a lot, or, you know, good luck, bad luck, here and there, and just, I don't know, I just kind of liked his character. He just seemed down to earth, you know.
He was like a love or hate. Like, some parts of the season one, I liked him, but a lot of it, I hated him. Because he was just a damn idiot. But, I mean, that was part of his character, but I was like, damn, this guy is so foolish.
But, you know, he's Australian, too. Can't tell from the way he acts, but yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I give him props for that, and that's pretty good.
And, yeah, I would also have to say Lafayette as well.
All right, what about yourself, Tin Pan? Who's your favorite character?
I'd have to bounce between, like I said, Lafayette before and, Bill Compton, because the guy that they picked, Stephen Moyer, to play him is just exactly how I pictured him in the book. He plays that, you know, he plays that to where you can still see he's got like those Southern sensibilities that would have come around from being alive in the 1870s and stuff like that, you know, the way he treats Sookie, and it's just, he plays that character perfectly.
All right, what about yourself, Stuart?
Wait,
sorry, I'm going to go back to Tin Pan. Who's your least favorite characters?
Least favorites? It started out being Tara in the first season, but I'd have to say that Andy Belfour, the detective, through most of the first season and a good chunk of the second season, I just couldn't stand his character.
Okay, uh-huh. Now on to Stuart. What's your favorite and least favorite?
You know, Lafayette, you know, gotta go. You know, he's good. I like him. Yeah, least favorite, Tara. I can't stand her.
Yeah, same. I think we all agree. Most of us agree.
We'll see him. Let yourself golf.
Wow, this is such a tough decision because I think that they did a hell of a job with the cast. I really like all the characters, but for me, I boiled my decision down to probably Jason Stackhouse because I think I relate to him the most. I'm obviously, at least I hope I'm not a brain dead like he is, but I, for some reason, I'm just drawn to his character because I think there's a little bit of Jason Stackhouse in me. But my least favorite, and I liked him the best on both seasons, my least favorite would definitely be Tara. And I have two reasons for that. One is her accent just is so annoying, and I don't like what she did as transformation as far as her body. Do you guys notice how much weight she lost from season one to season two?
Yeah, she did lose a lot of weight. But she was very muscle bound. But
I could not believe how she went from just this normal skinny girl to this overly muscle bound. She reminded me of almost like a female heavyweight bodybuilder going. That's how muscular she is and skinny in the second season. So it just seemed that when the first season was obviously a big hit, that she really had to step it up for the second season and just work out like a madwoman. But the problem is that I think it hurt her character by doing that transformation. It just didn't seem natural to see her looking that way. So that kind of turned me off. So maybe I'm just nitpicking, but boo to Tara.
Well, for myself, my favorite character was Eric. From the minute they introduced him, I kind of liked how he's such a badass and how he treated Bill like he wasn't nothing. And I was just anticipating him and Bill just going at it. And also Lafayette. But I think with this series, there's always peaks and valleys. There's times in which I like everybody at some point because they're casted and their writing is so good. But then other times you just hate them. Like Tara in season one, I liked Tara in season one. She was cool. She was a bitch. She was the one who sat around and cussed at everybody and didn't care what nobody thought. And she was always snapped Suki back into place. But by season two, I couldn't stand her. I mean, just the choices that she made, and she was so head over heels for that Ace guy, and it just seemed out of place from how she was so strong in the first season to being, even as Golf was saying, her body was strong, and even her mind was strong in the first season. Second season, she just became a complete waste, in my opinion.
You know, I will say Eric's flashback scene was my favorite throughout the whole series.
That was
so badass.
It was Eric and Godric. Almost had me.
That is one of the strongest episodes that I've seen. The episode where Godric goes to the sun, as they call it. Wow.
Oh yeah. Oh
yeah. Ooh. Got a little dusty in the room.
All right. So, what do we think about season one as a whole? Do you want to break it down from? We're not going to do like the Doctor Who episode from episode to episode, but as a whole, how was season one to everybody?
I personally prefer the second season, but the first season to me, how it was a mystery of who is this killer. I think it led up to the suspense, I think, in the first one is the key, and I enjoyed it a lot. I think the first few episodes were a very slow burn, but once I got involved and emotionally attached to the characters, I was hooked, and I loved the first season.
About you, Stuart?
I really liked the first season. It started out really good. Like, it was a good way to introduce, like, especially in the first scene, how it introduced, you know, vampires are mainstream and out there, you know, out of the coffin, as they called it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked that.
The new race everybody had to accept.
Yeah. And from episode, I have to say, 2, I knew something was up with that dog.
Oh, yeah.
I had my eye on that dog the entire time.
You know what? I think he's a character I hate the most. He's such a wuss.
No, don't hate on Sam.
Sam's awesome.
He's a kindest guy, but goddamn, he's such a wuss.
That's what I'm hoping this next season kind of he gets better as the books go on, so I'm hoping the next season really adds to his character.
Hey, but at least he got to see Qatar.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming, right?
No.
That was a weird relationship. Did he get her in the book?
I can't remember. I don't think so, actually.
I didn't think so either. So what about yourself, Tim and Pam? What's your impressions on season one?
I have to say, like the other guys, season one, because you really, I mean, until the last couple of episodes, you really had no idea who was doing this, what was going on. And in season two, I mean, you knew from the get-go that Marilyn was evil and that she was doing something wrong and that it was going to come down to having to deal with her. And I didn't like having, you know, the villain at the forefront from the very beginning. I like there to be a little mystery behind it.
And Will, what's your impressions on season one?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I obviously like season two better. But the whole time, you know, watching the whole, you know, love between, you know, the love story between Suki, you know, and Bill. I was just thinking, seriously, people are ragging on Twilight, but they're praising this show when this show seems like, you know, more of an adult Twilight.
Hey, Suki, too.
Yeah, I'm not a big Sissy fan.
She's the worst actor on the series, in my opinion.
Took me 3 episodes to realize that was Rogue.
I didn't realize it until season 2.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I enjoy looking at her.
I don't listen quite as bad then.
I definitely enjoy looking at her, but, you know, that accent, I think that's a horrible accent.
Yes, there's only a few people on there that really do a southern accent correctly, and surprisingly, the ones that do aren't from this country. So.
Right, I'm saying Jason has the best southern accent. No, Renee's accent was kind of extra.
Oh, he's got that he had a great Cajun accent.
Yeah.
In his case, I was surprised by him being an actual killer. I couldn't figure it out. So that was a good point for them. I couldn't figure out who the killer was.
I actually thought it was Sam for most of the season.
Yeah,
like even before that weird scene where he was sniffing the bed sheets.
I thought it was Sam or maybe one of the other vampires that came along. You know. What about the introduction of Jessica? At first I was like, oh, this is gonna be pretty bad, but it ended up being pretty damn good, especially for season 2.
Yeah, because I really like Hoyt's character and the fact that they gave him somebody that he could be with. I really dug that. So.
Oh my god, I wanted to punch his mom so bad.
Oh yeah, his mom's a bitch.
Exactly.
I was glad when she bit him. But okay, so more on season 1 here. With Sookie, right? That's the question I want to ask, especially, I guess, Tin Pan. In the second episode, was it when Sookie was meeting with, you know, those guys were messing with Sookie, and Sookie kind of, like, bending metal or something with her mind?
Mm.
You remember that? Did you guys remember that?
Mm.
And she had, like, an extra power. She has another power other than,
like,
just reading minds. She has another
like
power.
Like, she wrapped the chain around the guy's neck.
Right.
I remember that. It's the rat trays, guys that were trying to drain Bill. I don't think she's the one that does that. That's Bill. That's Bill that does that because he's running back and forth. You can't see him.
Oh, was that what happened?
Okay. Yeah.
It seemed to me it was her and that she didn't know that she did it or something.
Well, no, because when she does it, he is on the ground with the silver on him. And he is kind of confused about that. Because that's episode 1. I remember that.
Right. So it wasn't him who did it, right? It was somebody else.
Yeah, and they kind of hit the to it at the end of season 2 that, you know, that was somebody else.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's something still to be explored. What about Bill's on flashback scenes? Like, didn't they show the origin of Bill in season 1?
Yes.
Yeah, they did. with his maker's hot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
But crazier than shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting, you know, to go and see how that... Well, actually, I can't... You really don't... You see... When she captures him and she, you know, turns him in the first season, but you really don't see what they go through while they're still a team until the second season,
mm-hmm.
which was wild.
So what about, I'm looking at, refreshing my memory here. Remember the episode where Sookie remembers her uncle abusing her?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then... Doesn't Bill go and kill him?
Yeah.
That was a bit extreme, I thought. I mean, the dude's already older than, you know, dirt.
But that was one thing because he does that in the book as well, so I was glad they stayed true to the book on that one.
Right, I mean, but Sookie was kind of all right with that. I mean, she was mad, but at the same time, she got over it kind of quick.
Yeah, but he wasn't. That was the thing. Like, he was so mad of what he did to her. That he just went and killed him.
Yeah.
Well, what you think about it, Will? You remember that episode?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I I thought it was a bit extreme, really and truly. I mean,
it seemed out of character to me. That's what I'm saying. The way that they were building him up and talking about him, I mean, they probably did a better job in the book, but in the show, it seemed kind of out of character. It's like, well, this guy just cold-bloodedly killed this guy.
Since the uncle was really old. So, I mean, you're going to do that to an old man? I mean.
Well, it really kind of showed how, extremely Bill felt about Sookie. Mm-hmm. That, that didn't just happen to her, but it still affected him enough to want to go kill him.
All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about on season one? I mean, that's a couple things I wanted to mention.
Nope. I'm good.
All right. Let's talk about season two. Same, did any of you guys' characters change as far as who you liked and didn't like in season one and season two?
I really liked Jenny in this one, in season two.
Jenny was,
She was the female, she was the teenager vampire that Bill turned.
Okay. Yeah, she was
Jessica.
Jessica, yeah.
Oh, Jessica. What I said Jenny, no. Starts with a J.
This isn't Forrest Gump.
No, I was going to say, when you said Jenny, I was thinking about the other shapeshifter. But I don't remember what her name was.
Oh, yeah.
Daphne,
yeah.
I was sad to see her go.
Same. Yeah.
So, Jessica turned out to be real good, because after the first couple episodes, I was thinking, in her last couple episodes of season one, I was thinking, oh, this girl's just going to be a pain in the ass. And she turned out to be a really good character.
Till the end.
Yeah, I was really mad. And the last thing she did, I was really mad that she did it. When she went off and ran off and killed the truck driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seemed kind of... I mean, did that give back to the book reference? That happened in the book also?
Where Jessica goes off and she kills a truck driver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Like
because, in the book, he doesn't, he has to turn, girl for defending Sookie, but she doesn't come back to live with him in the books. Okay. Like, he turns her and then never hears from her again, if I remember correctly.
Wow, so they just...
Oh.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So my thing with season two, when it first started off, it was the big mystery is Lafayette still alive? That was I just want to make sure he was still alive, because I've already heard that he died in the book.
Yeah.
So that they kept that going for a while. It was good to see that he was still alive. And I was hoping that they would at least maybe turn him to a vampire, because I think Lafayette would make a hell of a vampire.
And he thinks so too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Eric really took off for me in season two.
Oh, dude, when he ripped that guy to shreds right there in front of Lafayette. Like, whoa, damn.
Yeah, I got a bit queasy during that scene.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
The only thing I didn't like about the beginning of season two was the whole Temple of the Sun thing. I couldn't... It played big dividends off later on, but the beginning seemed kind of just too cheesy for me.
Oh, yeah, the Fellowship of the Sun.
Yeah, Fellowship of the Sun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was, and that was probably the episode where they're in Dallas and, suicide bomber comes and bombs the vampire nest.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably my favorite episode, because it was just, I mean, almost exactly as close as you could have been like the book, and that was some of my favorite parts from the books. And, yeah, it's just that the xenophobia that comes from the Fellowship of the Sun. It's just you really just love to hate them.
The way that whole thing ended, especially when Godric decided he was gonna end it, because this whole thing was him pretty much sacrificing himself because he kind of was tired of it, right?
Yeah.
And that was very powerful to me when he just went up to the sun and when he had Eric up there crying.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed how this. I was disappointed how the season two ended. The last two episodes, I mean, were kind of a letdown. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the ending on season two was horrible, but I think as a whole, for me, season two, I enjoyed much more. I think it was more shocking. I think it was more risky. Basically, you got more. It was more boobies, more blood, more vampires. And what I really liked about season two over season one is my favorite character, Jason Stackhouse, and probably the close second is Lafayette. I believe in season two that they were the stars, in my opinion, where the first season, I think it was all about Sookie and Bill. And mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad that they went away from Sookie and Bill. But then on the ending of season two, it was still about Sookie and Bill. So I'm getting tired of them too, personally.
They brought it back, but those two were the weakest characters in season two.
Uh-huh.
But every episode in season two, pretty much every episode had me craving for the next episode until the last two. Last two, I still was wanting to see how it ended, but the last two, I mean, it was such a disappointment. The whole Sam to the rescue. I did like the zombie and Stackhouse and Belfort against the zombies and stuff. That was hilarious. But the whole way that Marianne met her, Marianne, right?
Yeah, that's it. I was calling her Marilyn, my bad.
the whole way that she met her demise was just foolish to me. It didn't add to her character. I mean, didn't make sense to how they portrayed her character the whole time.
I know you guys were saying that you guys would like to see Lafayette as a vampire. I think he would be too much of a loose cannon. I think it'd be a lot of fun seeing what he would do with the character, but I'm pretty sure the other vampires will end up killing him.
Yeah.
I would like to see him be like a general to Eric, because I think Eric could always rein him in, because he's just so much more powerful than him. So, I mean, that would be interesting. But, I mean, he's pretty much that anyway, not as a vampire, so maybe just keep him steroid up on the V and then leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, I kind of got a question for everybody, and now, obviously, I don't know how you could be as – okay, just answer this and be as truthful as possible. This is a geek show. Would any of you guys really want to be a vampire?
Hell yeah.
Hell no.
I mean
– no.
All right, we got a hell no and a hell yeah, Tin Pan.
No, I'd rather be a werewolf than a vampire.
I'd rather be a shapeshifter.
I think I'd rather be a vampire, but it would be hard because all the people you'd love, you'd also see them die over and over again for eternity.
I would just give me a vampire lady like Bill had at first and be done.
No sunlight. I would miss the sunlight too much.
I already don't like the sunlight, so I'm good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I would go golfing then.
So yeah, you still wouldn't be golfer anymore.
Well, you'd have a lot of money. You have indoor golf.
I'd be a vampire rat, but for me, I love life. I truly do, and I'm sure everyone else does. But I think being living forever would be the coolest thing.
Yeah, I mean, I get to choose when I go. I like that. That's cool about me. I always wanted to be like
cool
the
video games would be in 300-400 years from now. I mean, come on.
You know, when I look at I don't know if you guys have how far you guys are into the Anne Rice stuff. But I would love to be like Lestat.
Lestat? Hmm. Yeah.
Every time I think of a vampire, I think of it. That's who I would want to be like, Lestat.
What? The Lestat from Interview with the Vampire, not Queen of the Damned.
No, Lestat from the book of Lestat.
True.
I didn't even like the Interview with the Vampire.
What?
I loved that movie.
I didn't like it.
Interview with the Vampire was okay.
I own it, and I don't like it much.
I like the star power in it. That's about it. Back then it was like, because it had, even when Christian Slater was still at the top of his game, right? He was in it as a bit character, Brad Pitt, Tom.
Well, actually, River Phoenix, I believe, was supposed to play that part, but he OD'd in that club in Los Angeles, so they gave it to Christian Slater.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Even,
yeah, yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to tangent too off, but I really enjoyed Interview with the Vampire. Yeah, you had the two stars, Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise, but I think it was a different vampire film, and I just liked how they showed just how the whole relationship was with them and the little girl, and how they would go to parties just to seduce all the women and kill them, and see the highs and lows of being a vampire, and you know, going from being these wealthy, rich men to feeding on rats to stay alive, I thought was kind of cool.
And my thing is, I think the movie by itself would have made me be like, yeah, it was meh. But after reading the books also, I like the movie also.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was just they did mess up the one Antonio Banderas character. Because Antonio Banderas' character was supposed to be like, more like Godric.
Yeah.
And that would have been better, but...
No. Oh, the ending scene from the very end of the movie almost made the whole movie for me. When you got a director that's not scared to end a movie on a sour note, when he pops out of the back of that car and just gives Christian Slater, I was like, yes.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And then reading what happens after that was just awesome to me. But, all right, let's wheel back to the other vampire, True Blood. The finale. You guys want to talk about the finale a little bit? Or, you know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about eggs.
Eggs?
Yeah, you can keep the eggs, don't you?
Yeah, I did not like eggs, not one bit.
I'm with you. I just didn't like him either. Ugh.
What is it? Scrambled or over easy?
I mean,
I wish I had his pecs and abs.
Yeah.
I mean... I don't know. I don't know if it was the acting or the writing, but his character was terrible to me. And the fact that he was paired with Tara the whole time made her character bad to me also.
And the whole slapping scene. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, the whole abusing type stuff was sickening. Tell me that wasn't in the book.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Season 2 took a lot more liberties than season 1.
Yeah. Yeah, because the season 1 is pretty much the very first book in the series, almost scene for scene.
You guys were saying that you didn't like the last two episodes. I liked the last two episodes. They were just wrong. in a good way.
I did like that Sam and Bill had to finally work together. And, you know, and that they actually were able to overcome this lady, but...
Well, what about that scene where that lady cut off her finger so she can put it in that statue, the meat statue?
Oh, that was bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. To me, the season ended just so bizarre, especially season 2 finale, the actual finale was just like a pre-show for season 3, because everything is already done by the episode before that.
Yeah. All I want to know is who snatched Bill.
Yeah, I was like, who snatched him? And like, I don't know. I almost didn't care. It's like, good, just keep him snatched and let's go continue with the story.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to find out if Sook and Bill actually get married?
No, I don't care. I don't care about those. That's the thing. Season 2, I don't care about those two anymore. Only thing that was interesting, like what other psychics might be out there. The fact that she's fantasizing about Eric, well, that's interesting.
Yeah,
Eric was able to trick her into sucking her blood and having that attachment to her too.
Well, it's not good, just her good fantasizing. Trick, Lafayette was fantasizing too.
Oh, yeah, but. But, you know, he don't have anybody. She's supposed to be with Bill.
That's a good angle, because Eric does that several times throughout the series. That whole him trying to get Sookie away from Bill is a pretty interesting story to read.
And the fact that he just wants to get her away from Bill, I mean, that whole angle just seemed like he was the one who snatched her. I'm pretty sure that he's the one who snatched her. It had something to do with him being snatched, but... I don't know.
Well, I think it was the queen who did it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the last scene you saw of Eric or the queen was her yelling at Eric, you know, saying, like, don't let Bill find out. And next thing you know, Bill's gone. So.
Yeah, because Eric tells her I'll deal with it, and then you see him getting snagged, so.
I guess for me, my big problem with season two is I think they drug out the whole Marianne thing way too much.
Yeah.
I think they should have killed her off maybe halfway through the season. I just think they should have. She was good for a few episodes, but then she got old really quick, and I think she was the weakness in season two personally.
Because they focused on her more than Sookie and Bill. And just
her and her orgies.
Right, and it was just an excuse to have orgies, pretty much, and everybody affected except for Stackhouse and Belfour. And, you know,
and
just,
Tara's mom.
Yeah, why wasn't she?
That confused me, too. Why wasn't she affected?
Because yeah, she was too much already on drugs. Like, I don't know.
No, she was sober by that time.
Yeah, and, you know, that whole... I mean, they had a whole episode just like them trying to get Tara right, and the whole Marianne with the scratch on the back, and she had all these powers, and then she ended up getting fooled so easily in the end. That kind of bothered me. But I agree with you. She should have probably died by like halfway through. I would have rather seen a more physical confrontation with her and Bill or something.
Yeah, I agree. Now, any of you guys have the Blu-ray box sets of these series?
No.
No, I watched them on this first run when it came out. Do you have it?
I'm thinking about picking it up, but I'm afraid because these box sets, what they'll probably end up doing is, I don't know how many seasons they're going to have. Actually, I have some interesting numbers that I want to talk about that I searched the webs for, and maybe I'll be able to answer my own question, but... The True Blood series, since 2008, has won 27 awards, which I think is pretty good. And I believe that would it come out 2008.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the first season, the very first week, it had 1.44 million viewers, and then by season two, the average viewer was 12.4 million.
Whoa! And they picked a good time because this is a the whole Vampire Revolution kind of picked up.
That, and it's an HBO show. So, right. I mean, HBO, Showtime, you know.
It's one of those shows that I don't usually have HBO on all year round. But when June comes around, when this show comes out, I have HBO.
Oh, yeah, me too. So, basically, my question was, and it was kind of geared towards Tin Pan. Tin Pan, did you read all the books?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so based on just guessing... How many seasons could they do with True Blood? How many more we have left based on the books you read?
Ooh, there's a good 7 or 8 seasons worth of material in these books.
Aren't they coming out with more, though? Or are they finished?
Yeah, no, I think there's 2 more books in the series yet to come out.
Yeah.
And then it's finished.
That's good news. I'm looking forward to... The third season, which I believe is coming out in July?
June 13th. And the first episode is called Pack of Wolves.
Yeah, oh yeah, the werewolves are coming. I can't wait.
Really, are they Mississippi werewolves? Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Actually, no. I think the first pack of wares that she meets are from Louisiana, I believe.
Okay, also with the book, and see the way that it ended with Bill getting snatched, did that happen in the books?
No, it didn't.
Yeah, that kind of leaves me wondering where they're going to go. It's like they're steering further and further away from the books.
See, but they did have an angle. I think they may be trying to replace this where, you know, they say during the show that whenever a maker calls to you, you have to come no matter what you're doing. You have to just come to them. And well, supposedly in the books, his maker calls him, and then she holds him hostage in Mississippi. And Sookie gets pissed at him because she thinks that, you know, he's leaving her to go back to his maker. And, you know, she doesn't know he's being held hostage. So I think they may be trying to switch this around and have that as the story from that portion.
Well,
but
they
did
that already.
Dallas.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's the ex-girlfriend that snatched him. She's stronger than Bill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The maker is always stronger.
It's funny how she held Bill down for like 2 episodes in the bed.
And then he picked up it was a 60-inch plasma TV.
And smacked her with it.
Oh, that was awesome. And I love how she was like, you know, it looks so thin and light, but not really.
that did like that line. That was good.
Yeah.
What else we're going to go on here? What about, where do you think they're going to go with Stackhouse with the next Jason Stackhouse?
Oh, okay. I say, which one?
Ooh, well, I don't know if it'll be interesting to go if they go the way the book did. He becomes aware. I won't say what creature, but he becomes aware in the book series, and it'll be interesting to see if they actually stick with that.
And the whole Sam thing at the end, that's just coming back to me now. Sam at the end went back and met his parents, right?
Well, he's trying to.
Trying to meet his parents. I wonder, that seems kind of interesting. I'm a lot more interested in Sam's character in season 2. In season 1, I didn't like him because he's kind of a wuss. But this character, even though he was scared to confront Marianne, he ended up being more of a hero than Bill to me.
Because he stabbed Marianne.
No, I mean, even himself get stabbed, right?
Yeah, that was too.
So,
What do you guys think is going to happen to Sookie, who obviously Tin Pan probably knows reading the books, but she got a lot of men in her life. So what do you think is going to happen to her in the 3rd season?
I feel at some point her and Merlot are going to actually become tighter. Because she's always seemed to be wavering. If Bill's gone and she thinks that Bill just hauled ass on her, she's going to probably feel that, okay, well, abandoned. And every time she gets abandoned, she turns to Sam.
Yeah.
And she's going to turn to Sam one time, and Sam might man up and actually get with her, you know?
If they stick with the books, there's going to be a new love interest of hers in this next season.
Really?
Seriously, guys, what's the deal with Sookie? What's the deal with Sookie? She basically has Bill, the super insanely powerful vampire, wrapped around her finger. She has Sam Merlot, who's a shapeshifter that, you know, wants down her pants. What about Sookie Stackhouse? Is it because that she has a power that we all don't even know about?
Probably does. Maybe.
What is it? What is it with Sookie? I don't get it.
See,
because
that's the Twilight
she's not
comparison
overly
right
beautiful.
There.
She's cute.
They're attracted to her for another reason.
With something, another reason, another power that she don't know?
Yeah.
I mean, there was that allude to the fact that they can't really read her mind, they can't bedazzle her or whatever. That's just always inherent to the vampires in the first place, but there's something more.
Yeah, it's the power that they allude to at the end where she, you know, where Marianne comes up to her and Sookie puts her hands on her head and you see that spark. Yeah.
Marianne couldn't do nothing to her.
Yeah.
She had the power to blast back.
Yeah.
God, I hated Marianne thing. I mean, as good as that season was, I just couldn't stand. I did like the fact that it was a new creature, but I didn't like where they end up going with it. That's all.
Yeah.
What about the other vampires that were around with Eric, like the woman and the guy? I think those guys are hilarious too. I hope they're playing more of a role in the next one.
Oh, Pam! Pam's hilarious. And what's the other one? It's Pam and I can't remember the other guy's name.
It's a different guy now.
Yeah.
So how powerful is this queen lady? It's Sophia Ann, right?
Yeah. She's one of the older vampires in the world according to the lore. She's been alive since the 1600s. She's actually, I think she is the only, her and Eric are around the same age, if I remember correctly. Like, she's the only reason he's not the king of Louisiana.
Wow. I wonder if they're gonna go outside of Louisiana also.
Well, they do in the book, so it would be interesting to if they actually stick with that.
Well, they went to Dallas, so.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Dallas. They,
I guess
Arkansas.
I wonder if they're going to even get out of America. Because, I mean, you know, go to Paris or Egypt and those places and see what's happening with those vampires.
Or Japan, maybe.
That's
where the group
like Blade, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's where that
The True Blood
was manufactured. It'd be interesting to see if, you know, you have a vampire that's actually behind that and was running that to begin with and the reason they developed it.
I was going to say that's where that PR lady brought broadcast from.
Are they going to, do they ever get into the point of having a Daywalker type of vampire?
No.
Okay, good.
No Blade. Gotcha.
Yeah. Speaking of, I mean, that was crazy when, you know, when Bill was, you know, basically, you know, was walking out, running out in the, you know, the sunlight and his face was all melting and that was pretty interesting.
The power of love, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'm just glad he didn't sparkle.
God,
now, mind you guys, I have a 12-year-old daughter, so I have to watch these Twilight films.
My daughter told me everything. She sat down with me for 2 hours and explained everything that happened from book one to the last book that she read.
Yep, mine
and
then, too.
And I sat right next to her watching New Moon.
Well, the books aren't bad. The movies are awful, though.
Are you kidding? I tried to read the book. I forced myself to read the book. And it was, if I read one more description about how beautiful Edward was, I was going to throw up.
They quit with that. The first one, yeah, they beat you upside the head with that.
No, but watching the second movie and, you know, trying to enjoy it from my daughter's perspective, it's not bad for their age group. But for adults, yes, it's really very hard to swallow.
Yeah.
Well, my mom's into it, so...
Yeah, that's what I don't get is the adult, especially adult women that love this series.
There is a lot of adult women that love that series, and I work with 2,600 people. Well, I don't work directly with them, but the building I work for is huge. I work for the state, and you'd be surprised. I'll walk by a desk, and I'll see a bunch of Twilight posters, and I'll walk by the desk again. It's a 40-year-old woman that's sitting there. So it's making an impact on a lot of women.
Yeah, well, I got the brunt force of it. I work for a middle school,
so I get
Jonas Brothers, Miley Cyrus, Twilight. I get it all.
And my daughter does not like Miley Cyrus. I guess because I think she broke one of the Jonas Brothers' hearts or something.
I don't.
Well, she's about to turn 18, so. You know.
Yeah,
her career's over.
Oh no! I heard she is quitting music and is just gonna do films.
I think if she can get away from her nut job father, she'll actually maybe have a normal life. So.
Well, she does that. From what I hear, she's another Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cannot believe we're talking that much.
I was just thinking about that too.
Big tangent.
Yeah.
But, I mean, getting back on True Blood, I want to mention a couple of my favorite parts, you know, like when they find out, you know, about Sam being a shapeshifter, well, when Jason, you know, finds out, and he's, you know, he's talking to Andy, is that the cop's name?
Andy Belfleur.
Yeah, when he was talking to him, and he's like, "You think when he's, you know, a dog, you think he gets with another dog?" And I mean,
yeah,
that's bestiality. Well, not if there's no humans involved. If he's a, I mean, that entire, you know, conversation was just hilarious. I thought. I mean, that's another reason why I just think Jason's an awesome character.
Actually, one of my favorite parts, speaking of Jason, was when they kidnapped that guy, that other vampire for the V, and he died. I thought that scene was really awesome.
Oh, that's the guy that does Bill Daughtry's voice from King of the Hill.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like Bill Daughtry, almost. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was cool. I mean, you saw that part, like, it was hard not to like Jason at that point, even though his girlfriend was acting really crazy. But Jason was really sympathetic and trying to be nice to the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I liked his girlfriend towards the end, you know,
yeah,
when they stopped, when they were decided, you know, no more V. You know, I was like, that's awesome. You know, Jason's going to settle down with the night with, you know, a girl who understands him. And
what
and
you
then,
yeah.
She
so you guys think about
job.
The, you guys think about the beat of making trips?
Where they're like, they're making love, but like, really in their mind, they're running through a field and in the rain and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that was pretty interesting. The hippie, you know, the hippie part.
Yeah.
I think the show kind of got a little crazy when the preacher's wife had the hots for Jason. I thought that was very, very interesting. And that whole, bathtub scene I thought was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw it coming, though. Like, from the minute like they met and, like, he went off to camp, I saw that coming.
Definitely.
I saw that coming.
From the very beginning.
Yeah.
Just the whole how uncomfortable he was with the with her from the very beginning was just was comic gold.
Yeah.
I didn't see her shooting him, though, when she shot him, you know.
Oh, so, with the paintball gun.
Yeah, I mean you didn't know that was just a paintball gun at the you know.
Right, so you know that did throw you off like damn, he just shot Jason.
Oh,
yeah.
when he got up and jacked her though, I was like yes, about time. after she called what I can't remember what she said, called Sookie a whore or something, and he got up and bam, I was like yes.
I don't know, but me recently, when I watched, there's a lot of shows with men slapping the hell out of women lately. Especially, but True Blood really took it to a new level in season two, especially with the Eggs and Tara fights.
Oh, hell yeah. It was just, you know, one after the other, just bam. Crazy.
Anything else you guys want to talk about on True
Blood? And another funny part I thought was the whole, you know, Jessica, you know, when her and Hoyt was, you know, they were having sex, and, you know, they go again, and she's like, it healed back. It healed back
up. I felt bad for her there.
I did too. I felt really bad for her.
I did too,
but my first reaction was just laughing my ass off.
Because you're not a girl. That's why.
Exactly. He was all like, but it'd be like our first time every time. And she's like, but it hurt.
Fuck
no. You're a vampire. Man up, a vamp up, or whatever.
Exactly.
Hey, lubrication, friend or foe.
Oh, man, what about the whole Hoyt becoming a man with his mom?
About damn time.
I like that a lot, too. I mean, that's the thing that they got a lot into a lot of characters. Almost every character took two or three steps up, except for Tara and Eggs, in this season. And even Bill and Sookie, they kind of just treaded water for this season. And everybody else shined. But I mean, my biggest thing was I hated to see that. I thought that Godric was going to last. I was looking forward to seeing him in upcoming seasons.
Oh yeah,
I tell you what, man, they got their hands full. For season three, they're going to have to bring a lot of stuff because I think season two was pretty damn good.
Is it true that the guy that plays Ben Linus, his wife is in this in True Blood? Anybody know that?
I do not know that.
I heard.
Dan would know if it was true, probably.
I heard that was a case and that he was interested in being in True Blood.
Oh, that would be just too weird.
You know what? I'm not going to be surprised if a major celebrity jumps a bandwagon and gets on season three.
It's about time coming, since as good as the show's doing, that right now has been doing it pretty much with new actors and actresses, that a major actor is going to want to join in and they're going to let them. Can you imagine Ben Linus, one of the werewolves or the leader of the werewolf pack?
Nope.
Exactly.
I don't know. I wouldn't. I don't. I just. Well, my thing. I'm hating what they're gonna do with them in Lost now. So I don't want to see them do something else.
Yeah, she is in True Blood. She plays Arlene, the other waitress.
Really? Wow.
Huh.
Hmm.
interesting.
Wow. She looks a lot better when she's not looking like Arlene. Anyways.
Yeah, isn't she a blonde in real life?
Yeah, yeah. She is. Can't believe Ben Linus is married to that.
Oh, I'm just shocked, you know, Tin Pan, you haven't posted any links yet.
You're holding out on this, buddy.
Sorry, I used to get Blue in trouble. I had to stop doing that.
Yeah. So, I think any other discussion on True Blood?
Besides, you know, I mean, I didn't really like Eric from the first season, but I started to like him from the second. I mean,
yeah, he's such a badass. I mean, he was an asshole in the first one, but I mean, I kind of like assholes in TV shows, so yeah. I like Eric a lot. I look forward to seeing what they're going to do with him in season 3, but I don't know, the way season 2 ended, I'm excited to see what they're going to do with season 3, but it's not my most anticipated show this year.
It's definitely mine. I know I don't have HBO, but in a couple months I'll be back on the HBO bandwagon.
Now I'm looking forward to Dexter, Weeds, and Mad Men.
Oh, Dexter for sure. And Weeds, I'll watch it, but not really looking too forward to that.
I can't wait till next spring for HBO. That's when. Have you guys ever heard of the book series, The Song of Ice and Fire?
No.
George R.R. Martin, A Game of Thrones. Oh, come on. Why has nobody else heard of that? It's a great book.
And, the Geek of the Week is?
It's they filmed a pilot, and it's going to run on HBO next spring. I'm really looking forward to that. But, yeah. If you dig high fantasy, you should pick up A Game of Thrones.
I want to say I've heard of it. But I'm not sure.
I think our True Blood discussion is wrapped up to a close. William, you said you wanted to talk about a contest you think about running.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got a bunch of stuff from, you know, PAX East. I mean, Matt and myself were just, you know, just looking for stuff to grab. I mean, just free stuff, you know, people were just giving them out, so we were like, you know, why not take it? But yeah, I got a bunch of stuff that I basically have. It's a bag. It's like a Pokemon Heart Gold Soul Silver bag filled that I got from PAX, filled with a bunch of stuff. There's a Red Dead Redemption t-shirt, so I'm sure, you know, we'll get tons of spam from, you know, Jaybird about that, but I mean, there's a bunch of stickers, there's a bunch of CDs from the Rock Band, you know, area. I mean, there's just a bunch of stuff in there, and I'm thinking of throwing some extra stuff in there. But yeah, we're gonna have the rules on the Open Forum radio site pretty soon, so, and we'll tweet the links, you know, on Twitter, and so, you know, if you follow us, you'll see.
Right. Most likely it's going to be linked with iTunes reviews, email suggestion, and as William was saying, they're going to be a link on Open Forum Radio describing the contest rules in detail soon. So look out for it. And as far as our email is concerned, our email is, correct me if I'm wrong, thegeeksfew@gmail.com.
That's correct.
You can, you know, any suggestions you guys want to leave us or show topics you might want us to discuss, feel free to give us an email or you can give us a tweet. Our Twitter address is what? The Geeks FTW Podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll constantly be trying to post new questions and stuff on there and see if we get people to communicate and conversate with us. And we'll go from there. Okay, time for shout-outs. Anybody want to go first with the shout-outs? Final thoughts?
I'll go first. I mean, I just want to shout-out to, you know, Jason and Anthony for, you know, being on. And, you know, I basically heard, you know,
Jason, you know, talk a lot about the, you know, basically True Blood on the Scarcasm. So, you know, I was like, you know, maybe he wants to, you know, talk about that some more. So we approached him. And, of course, you know, Tin Pan, you know, he's a big fan of it, read the book. So we were like, got to have him too. So, I mean, this is our first time having, you know, two guests. So that's something special, I guess. And I also just want to shout out, you know, the rest of the OFR crew, you know, Vlad, Zabari, Vic Joe, and Patriot. I mean, hanging out with them, I just had a blast, even though, you know, I was only I'm only 20, so I wasn't able to go to some of the parties. But, you know, I had a good time with Patriot. You know, him and I, he didn't want to go to the Gamers Gone Wild, so we just hit up, you know, hit up a seafood restaurant and got some pretty good seafood. So, yeah, those are my shout-outs.
All right, what about yourself, Stuart? Any shout-outs?
I'd like to shout-out to Cookie and Jay, because we've been having a conversation over Twitter about the new Doctor Who all day.
That's been entertaining.
All right, myself, I'd like to shout-out to our guests. Thank you for coming.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yep, thank you.
And UFC, I'd like to thank out. Me and Golf got to sit down and have a long talk about UFC one day. George St. Pierre is never going to lose.
Yeah, I'm all about the UFC, so if you ever have a UFC show, you better invite me.
And who else? SFX360, those guys over there. I'm in Miami. Those guys are another site that I'm affiliated with. You know, I don't post too often there, but there's a new member there that's been going back and forth with me lately, SFX Pride. She has her own, pretty much, she has her own geek section on there. You guys should check it out. Talk about a lot of TV. She does a lot of TV shows and watching. I wanted to get her on here one day, so I'd like to give her a shout out. And also, Soldier X, thanks for the Microsoft points. And, good luck with your new site. He has a new site. You guys know anything about it or seen anything about it? He has a new site that he's doing in which he's going to pretty much do like an achievement junkie type thing. Well, not achievement junkie, but
achievement hunter type, yeah.
Right, achievement hunter.
With the podcast and
tell people how to get achievements. I think that's pretty cool.
Wish
him luck with that. And look forward to boosting my achievements. And that's it for me. All right, well, I guess you got anybody you'd like to shout out? Tin Pan?
Just wanted to shout out all my other, my co-hosts at OFR, Blue, Vic, Patriot, and Vlads. Looking forward to recording tomorrow. We've got a very special guest coming on the show tomorrow that I'm looking forward to interviewing. And I just really appreciate you guys having me on. It was fun. I always enjoy discussing True Blood, so hope I get to come back on in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when the season come on, we'll probably have you guys on alternating weeks or something. Just a thought, just to discuss what happened, you know.
Cool.
And about yourself, Golf.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to the Talking About Games community, and of course, my other co-hosts at Talking About Gamers, and you guys. I think it's real neat that the community is just growing and growing, and new podcasts are coming out. Very different podcast, I must say. So I want to give a shout out to all you guys, and starting up a new podcast is a lot of work and can be challenging and scary, and I think that you guys got a good show, and I had a lot of fun coming on, so thank you for having me.
All right. You guys have any other closing thoughts or shout outs? Everybody's done? All right, well, thank you guys for coming on, and this is Geeks for the Win podcast.
Episode 5.
Easter Sunday recording, April 4th. And we will see you next week.
When you came in, the air went out. And every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before
do bad things with you. I'm the kind to sit up in his room, heart sick and eyes filled up with blue. I don't know what you've done to me.